Like I said, what a massive weekend, eh? Friday we started and we did exactly what the word says. We had communion. And in Luke 22:19 it says we do that. Why? In remembrance of him. In remembrance of what he has done for us. I just want to give you a couple of scriptures. You know, the writer of Psalms says at the end of some of the songs that he writes, and the end of the Psalms that he writes, he says, Selah. That word Selah means those two buttons on your remote. Pause. Take time. Friends, and this weekend cannot be a weekend for me and you where we just say, yes, I got Friday off and I've got Monday off. This is awesome. Friends, it's got to be a weekend in our lives, in our calendar, in our walk with Christ that we need to Selah, that we need to pause, that we need to say, God, what is this that you have done for me? We have to take scripture. We have to open the word. Greg's, like he says, custom for him is watching the Passion just before this weekend. Friends, we have to get back into that place what we say, Lord, what is this about? Is it just a long weekend I can hook my caravan and go to the Kruger? Is it just a time I can fly over? No, friends, there's so much more that you and I have to Selah, pause, and have a look at what this amazing God has done for me and you. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to purify us for himself, a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Romans 5:18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to the justification and life for all men. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And then the last one, 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Friday we celebrated Jesus dying on a cross, a gruesome penalty paying that you and I were supposed to pay. He paid that price for us. Friends, but this morning with millions of other Christians, we are reminded that we cannot stop at the cross. We cannot just camp at that cross. For me, the cross is a place of exchange. Something needs to happen at that cross. When you come with your sickness to that cross, there's an exchange that needs to happen. You put it at the cross and you walk away with healing. When you walk to the cross with fear and anxiety, you leave it at the cross. You walk up at the other side with joy and peace. You come with your chains that surround you and you walk to that cross and you lay the chains down and you walk away with freedom. There's an exchange that needs to happen. You're going to go there with your brokenness. You're going to go there with your heart that's open and exposed, and you're going to leave it at the cross and you're going to walk away with freedom and with healing. But so many times we get stuck at the cross with our issues, with our problems, with our sicknesses, and we camp at that cross and we keep it and we hold on to it. Friends, that cross needs to be a place of an exchange where you come and you lay it down and you pick up what God has done on the cross for you. He has paid that price. His blood was shed, his body was broken so that we can take up what he has given us and walk with that. Why do we keep walking with our sickness? Why do we keep walking with our brokenness? Why do we keep walking with those chains? Why? Because we come to that cross and we camp there and we stay there and we keep it. A lot of us even take it and we walk away and we keep that with us. Friends, I want to tell you, Jesus has died on the cross. The word says he paid the ultimate price to set you free. That exchange needs to happen right there. But this morning, we cannot camp at that cross. Doesn't matter where it is or what it is, that cross, my friend, today is empty. We cannot camp at that. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Luke 24, verse 1 to 12. I'm going to read out of the NIV. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down in their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, I've underlined this in my Bible, and if I have to theme this morning, this is my theme. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinner, be crucified, and on the third day, be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. First evangelist right there was woman. First evangelist, really. What did they do? They went back and they told the people what they saw. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because the words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what happened. This morning's worship was amazing. This morning's time of just being in his presence was amazing. Why? The tomb is empty. The cross is empty. And we can come and celebrate this morning a Jesus that has risen from the dead. We celebrate this morning. We have this Sunday that we set apart, not just another Sunday, but it's a Sunday where we can say that the God I serve is alive. That's why we get together. That's why we are here. Yes, we got many things going. Friends, the one ultimate thing that brings me and you together is that Christ died and he rose again and he lives inside of us. That's why we're here, to worship this amazing God. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 3, Paul is speaking here. It says, for I delivered to you as first importance that I also received that Christ died for our sins and according with scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and according to the scriptures, and that he happened, and that he appeared to Cephas, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, more of whom are still alive, through whom have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Acts 3 verse 15 says, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. Ephesians 1:20, that we worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. I want to go back to Luke 24, verse 4 to 6. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. Now we know it's the angels. Amazing that in the beginning of the Gospels, it was the angels that brought the good news. And again, yeah, the angels are bringing good news. Saying to this woman, and I've underlined that, why do you seek the living among the dead? See, on that day, the women found an empty tomb that once held a crucified Christ. And the angels asked them this profound question: why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? The same question echoes in hearts today. Same question. Why do we seek life in things that leads to death? Why do we look for a savior in all the wrong places? We want to live a life to the fullest, but we choose the things that will ultimately kill us. Why do we surf? Why do we search for fulfillment in emptiness? Friends, your spouse, that amazing husband next to you, that awesome wife next to you, that kid on your lap, that career, the latest new car, the extra flat you bought at Belito, the best new 50-inch TV that you bought, those things. The Bible says, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? People live for their careers. People live for their families. And it's not wrong. But I want to tell you this. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Why are we seeking the living amongst the dead? Jesus died and rose again. Our lives are found in Him. My identity is in Him. My hope is in Him. My love is in Him. My life is in Him. I cannot search for Him amongst the dead. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Acts 17 verse 2. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and have our being. You see, but this same question has got a sense of celebration today. The same question has got a sense of celebration. The ultimate sacrifice of Jesus was successful. Death couldn't stop Him. Hell couldn't keep Him. And sin couldn't beat Him. Jesus died so that we could live. He took our place, accepting the death that we deserved so that we can live with Him forever. Friends, that's good news today. We can celebrate the fact that Jesus rose again. We can celebrate not because He was crucified, but because He rose. Not because He died, but because He lives. When we get together in His name this morning, He is here. He is with us. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not there anymore. He is right here. He is right here. He's with us. With all the emotion of looking at the cross, all the emotion of just reading what Christ has gone through for us, and just experiencing and just reading how His blood was spilled, how His body was broken, there's an overwhelming joy and excitement this morning that on the third day, He rose again. Friends, this morning where we started worshiping, I don't know about you, but there was a sense of excitement. There was a sense of joy in my heart. I know that I know I don't have to go and bow down to a statue that's in my house. I don't have to go to my back garden to a shrine and pay things and bring things. I don't have to close my shop at 12 o'clock and go and bow my knee to something that's dead. This morning, I know that I know that I know that the grave is empty. The stone is rolled away. My Jesus lives forever and ever. The word says He is and was and is to come. Friends, that's good news. That for me is good news. There's so many people that are serving a dead God, a dead religion, a dead thing. Why are we searching for the living amongst the dead? This morning we go back to that tomb where the stone is rolled away. The woman walked in there and He wasn't there anymore. I celebrate that. I worship that God. I exalt that King that died and rose again. Friends, this is an amazing story. This is one of those love stories that we read and we can make us feel good about ourselves, but it can't end there. It can't finish there. For me, there's two things that I want to leave with you that stands out for me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." I believe with everything in me, as I prayed yesterday, as I prayed last night, even this morning, through the crucifixion and through Christ raised from the dead, this morning, he has brought reconciliation to every single one of us. And I believe with everything in me, there's people here that are sitting here with broken hearts, that are sitting here in bondage. The word reconciliation has got a couple of meanings. It says mending, restoration, and bring back together. I feel God wants this morning to mend, restore, and bring back together. And I can say this with 100% assurance in my heart. Why? Because the grave is empty. And he paid that price. And he wants to bring me and you back to him this morning. The second one is commissioning. Acts 1 verse 7. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or season that the Father has fixed by his own authority." Verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." There's a commissioning, friends. To be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. It's time that we take up our commissioning again. Before Jesus left, he spoke to them and he says, "I'm commissioning you to go and be witnesses." He left that with him. I'm sure that is very important. There's a commissioning. Won't you close your eyes with me?